BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening. Welcome everyone to the next BDNG Exciting podcast, and today we're very lucky to be in conversation with Dr. David Williams, who is the Head of Medical Affairs at Thornton and Ross. So let me quickly introduce myself. My name is Tina McKenzie and I'm the Education Lead for the BDNG. And I've been really fortunate enough to work with Dr. David Williams and the team over the last year and really got to know what the project and research is all about, which is called the Listen Study. Now, David, welcome to the BDNG podcast. Can you quickly introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Tina, for inviting me on today. My name is David Williams. I'm an experienced medical person. I qualified as a doctor in 1990, but I've been in industry after 10 years in healthcare practice for 24 years. So I've worked across many organisations, both from an R&D perspective and in a customer facing perspective, to ensure that all of the things that we are doing are appropriate and medically relevant.
That's fantastic. So a lot of experience behind you. And I know ourselves, we didn't know each other before we started working together at all. And I was really privileged to be asked last year at the BDNG conference to talk on your symposium about what we're going to be discussing in this podcast about the Listen Study. So I had no idea what the work had been done, and it was brand new and a really exciting project. So I've been very, very fortunate to be involved in this. So David, could you explain to our audience what the Listen Study is?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Listen Study came about because, let's be honest, we came into the discussion with the BDNG about putting a symposium on and we weren't sure what to do.
It was a bit of a journey.
And Susan and yourself were brilliant about coming up with brainstorming ideas. And I think it came to the situation to do something a little bit untraditional. Yes. I think we started off looking at potentially a CPD type program of looking at skin disease in patients of colour, which is a very, very relevant and valid thing to do. But it was trying to find out, is there something that we can do which is slightly different to engage people with? And I think the idea of looking at applying digital research technology in the lived experience of patients with skin disease, and we went through different options and came up with the idea of looking at mental health and patients with dry skin conditions, eczema and psoriasis. And I think that was the light bulb moment when we thought about the Listen Study, because I think it transformed our thinking in terms of what we do. Instead of telling people what they should think, we actually started to ask people in a sort of hands-off way. Absolutely. Of looking at the internet.
It was fantastic, David, to experience this journey, I think, with how it's developed. And, you know, we do know that people with skin disease really do struggle, you know, with mental health, and the quality of life can be affected quite negatively. And I think with the Listen Study, you've really opened our eyes as clinicians even to what these patients are really experiencing. Could you just explain a wee bit how you went about the Listen Study, what it involved?
So absolutely, yeah. And I think that the principal foundation is about ensuring that when you first start on this journey, you get all of the stakeholders around the table. So it was ourselves, it was the BDNG, and it was the eczema outreach program. So getting the actual patient, asking the patient to be involved in asking the patients. Yeah. So we ensured that sort of three-legged stool type approach where we get a really solid base. So that was the first principle. The second principle is about getting the input of all of those people in terms of what areas and words that they'd really be interested in looking at. Because what our principle is, we apply a Boolean search methodology. And what we mean by that is we basically put all the words down that we want to look for. We put them into a platform and then we look on the internet all the social media platforms that we can at the time and look at a retrospective view of what people have said over the last couple of years. So you're basically getting a backwards looking effect of what people said spontaneously in the digital ether, and then bringing all of that together without prejudice, using the method to actually then look at what are the themes and archetypes that people are talking about, and then dividing them by that as a principle. So you basically get a huge data set that you don't interact with, but you're basically observing what people are saying based on those terms.
That's fantastic. And I think as well, you know, we know social media is here. We know everyone has social media daily in their lives, you know, so we can't ignore social media. And I think, you know, social media, yes, can be negative, but it can be so powerful, can't it?
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, the words that were created from, you know, the social media sites were so powerful, you know, and really made clinicians think about what our patients are feeling. Can you just explain the social media sites that you use? Because, you know, there's a lot out there and a lot of different ones.
But they are limited when you're looking at retrospective. You're looking at basically the platforms which will allow you to have a view. So things like Twitter, Reddit, or X as it's called, some of the Facebook open sites, and basically internet forums that have open access. So it's a pretty broad base of things. And, you know, we were shocked how much data came back. It was 3.5 million hits off that. And that didn't include things that we would need to do a prospective study on, which we may touch on later, which is things like Instagram and TikTok and all those sorts of things. So it was a snapshot of a snapshot. But still registered 3.5 million individual hits. And I think the thing about it is when the process of validity comes from the number of people that have interacted with the social media platforms, it's basically taking a case study type approach, but times it by 3.5 million. And I think that's really where we were coming from.
I mean, that's huge, isn't it? The numbers are huge. And, you know, like you say, the impact, you know, we're used to studies with minimal amount of patients that are involved and, you know, very valuable studies. But I mean, to have 3.5 million is absolutely fantastic. And you've mentioned some social media sites there, but there's a lot more out there, isn't there? And I mean, is that the plan to go further forward with other social media sites?
Absolutely. I think our proof of concept here was, are we going to get anything from the study? You know, and there's certain levels of validation that we need for that, both from the BDNG and from the patient perspective. Is this telling you things that sound real? Okay. And then you look at, okay, when you divide it by who's interacting, if you've nominated who you are and what profession you are, you can divide by different professions and see what different people are saying. And that was very interesting as well, because different professions were interested in different things. I think one of the limitations of the study, which is what we need to look at in our next stage in a prospective study, is to look at the population who we're interested in, which are younger people. The younger people tend to use platforms like TikTok and Instagram and all those sort of things. And to allow us to have a very inclusive view of what this patient population think, we need to look at those specific channels, including all of the others that we've already mentioned, but we need to include those as well, because that will give us a real clarity of picture. I'm not sure how many hits we'll get. If we've got 3.5 million looking back, if we're going to include them as well, I think this is going to be a big study. The one thing I would say, Tina, from the BDNG's perspective, this is a first in this area that the BDNG have done. It's also obviously because it's the first, it's the biggest, but it's on a magnitude of it's huge data sets that we're hopefully going to write up very shortly in peer review for people to see, is dealing with how much data you have to deal with, because patients' lives are complicated, as the audience in this podcast would 100% understand.
Absolutely. And I think that's the way, isn't it? I mean, we're always informing, you know, our members, you know, working collaboration together as well. It's really important aspect of, you know, of our work, really, even when we're working as clinicians. But I think the collaboration between the BDNG and yourselves has been such a, you know, an exciting venture, but you know, it's really grown, hasn't it, over the year. So again, it's, you know, with these ideas that you've had, it's really developed into something really quite big, isn't it, like you're saying. And we were really lucky last year to do a symposium with yourselves at the BDNG conference. And obviously I was there and you were there as well, David. And we both remember the engagement that we had from the audience, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the reaction as well, I am fair to say, wasn't it? Were you quite surprised how engaged the delegates were about the study and what they felt about it?
We were actually, I think, as it, like all things on the agenda, there's always competing interests and people have an alternatives to go to other sessions, you know, but we had, you know, well over 120 people at the session. But it's not just the numbers of people that was involved. The sad thing for me is that the conversation afterwards, the question and answers didn't carry on, because I think we'd have learnt an awful lot. Because I think an important, really, really important part of this study is that I don't think you'd have got the level of detail and engagement from any other group apart from a group of nurses, to be honest. I think that interpersonal relationship, deeper probably conversations that people have a confiding relationship in a nursing dialogue. And even that kind of level of depth of relationship that nurses have with patients, it was fascinating to hear some of the more delicate subjects that were coming out of the study, like relationship issues, sexual issues, you know, those kind of dynamics were conversations which were not always taken forward because of the embarrassment, both from a patient perspective and a practitioner perspective. So even with a very qualitative group, it was interesting to hear that conversation. And then, unfortunately, we had to cut it short because of timings, but it would have been really interesting to see how that evolved. And I think our follow-up studies that we're doing is interesting, is expanding on that. So ultimately, it's a way of reflecting to the BDNG, what are people talking about? And is there anything we need to do to change our practice? And you and I have had lots of talks about various types of ways of framing consultations and looking at different themes that you need to bring up and being more systematic and based on the evidence. And who knows where it will lead, but to be honest, what will be led by the BDNG in terms of being one of the most evidence-driven qualitative organizations on the planet, which is quite impressive.
Thank you very much for that nice compliment. But I totally agree with what you're saying, David. When we were restricted, we only had 45 minutes or an hour to discuss what we, you know, the listen study was informing us about, and some of the words are very strong, but it did bring up feelings in the audience, didn't it, of people discussing aspects of care that we see every day in our clinical practice. You know, we ask on the DLQI about any sexual difficulties with, you know, on the DQL, but often it's ignored. So I think the opportunity in that presentation was basically to open up our ideas and thinking and, you know, discuss this with our colleagues as well, because it's really important to have these discussions. So how do you ask these difficult questions, or, you know, how do you feel when you're asking these questions? Because it can be quite difficult. So I think it wasn't just about realizing what the study was about. It was about, you know, opening up and the awareness of what clinicians can actually do in the consultations as well. I do agree we had restricted times, but the good news is that we also have some further plans. And David, you've already done an interview with us for the journal, which is fantastic. And also we are planning a series of journal articles, but also the great news is that we are planning another informative session on the Listen study and the progression of this study at the main BDNG conference in September. So it's not a symposium, it's actually within the conference. So could you just explain to our listeners, David, the further plans, the further developments for the Listen study?
Absolutely. I think the first thing is to root our progress in a proper evidence-based way. So the first thing we're going to do to tick off the list is to publish the retrospective study. Now, the challenge of publishing the retrospective study is I think we've got probably at least 3 or 4 clinical papers that we can write up from the study because the data set is so enormous. So first thing we have to do is how we're going to structure our peer review piece. So that's the first bit of anchoring what we've done already. The second thing we're going to do is formulate and form the prospective study. So we're going to look at now taking some of the themes from the baseline, which is the retrospective, and then feeding it into a maybe a nuanced way, a slightly different way of doing it, again, in consultation with the patient group, BADNG, to look at the different platforms. And then what we want to do basically after that and in the summer and into the symposium is probably do some degree of comparison, looking at, is there a difference in the themes that we're looking at? Is there a difference in the demographics of where people are posting, what people are talking about? So that will be a difference in terms of the type of picture that is being shown. So hopefully then by the time we then get on the agenda in September, we will have a new set of data to present. And no doubt after that, hopefully have a whole swathe of new peer review papers to do and look at that as a comparison. After that, the really exciting thing for me is I don't know what the answer is, because that's what research is about, where it will take us. But I think we'll have the biggest data set on patients with skin disease ever generated. So where the BDNG want to take this is up to the BDNG. And hopefully the listeners to this podcast will feed in some interest into that. So because I think the more engagement we have with people, the more we will change practice for the benefit, because the reality is these people are posting online, so they want to be either sharing their experiences or probably even just be listened to. I think just because our as healthcare professionals, we always want to help and we always want to solve, but sometimes the solution is just to listen. And I think that's where we're trying to get to. From a company perspective, a Thornton and Ross startup perspective, is to think, okay, are there lessons learned on what products that are being presented to the patients, and should they be changed? You know, looking at the texture, the smell, et cetera, of different products, and then listening to that element to it to change what the patients want moving forward is just as important to us.
That's fantastic. And I think it is. It's a project in development. And I think, you know, more nurses, more listeners that have listened to this podcast, and also the nurses that are going to be attending the conference, you know, can engage in the future with this project as well. We've already engagement from the eczema outreach support group, haven't we, with the youth panel. Yeah. They presented alongside yourselves last conference as well. And, you know, they're prime examples. The youth panel, absolutely fantastic how they speak about stigma, how they speak about their feelings, their journey. David, on the back of the listen study, could you maybe mention and explain to the listeners some of the wording that you've highlighted, some of the words that are coming out of your study? That would be really interesting for our listeners.
Yeah, the themes are the sort of thing about steroid use, about grief, about body image, about relationships and romance. One of the things, you know, the desperate impact that this has had in terms of people's employment, their feelings of self-worth, their ability to form relationships with other people based on their. And it was interesting, I was reading a quote from one of the patients in one of the tweets, and it was about body shaming. And body shaming can be a modern term, it can be interpreted in various ways, but it was about the judgment of others based on what they look like. And the different types of experiences, people use different language, but about being embarrassed about themselves, about the impact it's had on their employment prospects. And those kind of intimate personal experiences have come through. And I think looking at the qualitative output, which is basically the patient's voice, is really understanding that sometimes we can solve things, but other times it's just about listening to people to understand what they've gone through. And then there's some key trigger questions. You may not be able to solve it, but it may feel like give that person that someone's at least listening to them.
Absolutely. That's the main, that you've hit the nail on the head there with the main points, isn't it? Is having that patient thinking they're actually being listened to, but also the impact that that has on the, you know, the nursing profession or other colleagues within the healthcare professions that can actually act on what these patients are thinking, you know. And it's not just a case of looking at the skin, assessing the skin, it's a case of assessing them holistically and taking into consideration some of the feelings that they're actually experiencing and supporting them with this as well. So we really are excited to continue with this journey with the listen study. It's, you know, it's a really exciting thought process that, you know, we're going to have more and more information. And I think, like you say as well, it's research, isn't it? It's always developing. Yeah. We don't know the answers at the moment. It's the development of research. And the actual concept of this has been fantastic research, but also the passion and the drive behind Thornton and Ross and people like yourself, you know, to basically spread this word about what is happening with these patients is phenomenal. And I was really quite taken aback how driven the Thornton and Ross team were when it comes to this study. Can you just quickly sort of backtrack to who actually thought about this idea at the beginning or how it came about?
Yeah, but with all the modesty in the world, it's probably me.
That's great. No, it's fantastic.
However, it wasn't formed in the way that it's evolved. I think the concept of using digital data is something that I was bringing to the table for us to talk about, but it was that willingness of the concept of listening to the product development, listening to the BDNG, listening to the patients. You know, it was formed essentially from an idea and then taken to Susan and yourself. And I think that was really where the genesis of it came back, because you guys didn't want to do anything boring, which was
we never do.
We felt suitably admonished. And I came up with an alternative idea, because I think what has evolved after that is that I think when you're in a good team, things evolve and things spark, right?
Yeah.
Things get better. It's not about one side doing one thing, it's just us working together. And I think that's what the Thornton and Ross type approach was about here, is to be brave enough, to be honest, from a pharmaceutical company, to hand over something to work with people rather than another way of doing it. And I think what has evolved is, and I think this is the bit what the BDNG membership need to understand, is that ultimately you will be the biggest experts on the planet on the lived experience of the patient with skin disease with eczema and psoriasis, because you've listened to them and nobody else has listened to them on that scale. It's an evidence-based, research-driven approach. People won't appreciate that because they won't have seen a lot of it. But what will come through over the coming year is quite a significant amount of data and quite a significant amount of evidence, which is being driven by the BDNG, by the patients, by Thornton and Ross. And I think that's the message to get through, is that the BDNG is the leader in qualitative research in this space. It's quite an interesting thing to think about, but that's essentially what it is.
I think as well, give credit to our listeners listening to this podcast as well. You know, there's so many healthcare professionals that want to be involved in research, and it can be quite daunting at the beginning, definitely. And I think, you know, to be inspired by yourselves today, listening to this podcast as well, is really important. So it's not just about all the work that you've done. It's just to have that inspiration and, you know, for our listeners, hopefully in the future, to be involved in this. I think as well, if any of the listeners listening to this podcast today are really excited by this prospect, definitely come and see us at the conference and, you know, ask any questions. Also, you know, email myself if you've got any questions on the listen study, or, you know, the again when we do the presentations at the main conference as well to come and join us, because it's really engaging, isn't it? And the questions that come out of that were fantastic, David. So I'm afraid we are running out of time with our podcast today. Is there any keywords, any key sentences you want to quickly say, Dr. David Williams, before we wrap up this podcast, just to engage our listeners even more into this and come and see us at the BDNG conference for the Listen Study?
I think there's two important things. Is one is, if anybody has any input and interest in changing the search strategy for the Listen Study, put forward their ideas in terms of the lived experience. And I think if part of the engagement within the September, which I think is really important for us, is to come along to the session and actually give their feedback, because the whole point about it is taking on board the community's view and leading forward rather than doing it for them. And I think it's one of those rare events where you can actually input into the research question, and why not take the opportunity to do that?
Absolutely, 100%. And I know how easy it has been to work with you and your team, David. So I would definitely say to any of our listeners to approach the Thornton and Ross team at the conference on their stand as well, if you've got any questions about the Listen Study. But I'd also like to say a massive thank you. It's been a privilege to work with you guys over the last year. And I'd also like to say a massive thank you, David, to yourself, who has put so much time and effort into the journal articles, the forthcoming journal articles, and also for the podcast today. So thank you so much for engaging our listeners today, and we will hopefully speak very soon.
Thank you, Tina.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website, bdng.org.uk, and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.